It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, thanks for tuning in. It's the weekend, and we're in the middle of October. And, gee, I hope you're enjoying some of this beautiful fall weather. There's a little snap in the air every morning when I get up. But Mother Nature sent me a cold. You can probably hear it in my voice, but I'm going to make it through. I'm just working on it and getting through. So maybe Bob will do all the talking today, and I'll just go, mm-hmm, or I don't know. But anyway, I'm Jop. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Hey, thanks, buddy. Yeah, sorry to hear you're down with the weather. I was going to go see one of my kids and a couple grandkids, and they said they're all sick.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, we're not coming over.
Right. Yeah. Yep. I'm not bringing it to you. Keeping my distance this morning.
I don't need to continue that loop. Let it end in your house. Kill it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do really love this cooler weather. I notice, though, the older I get, the more I'm a little cold sometimes, you know. Yeah. I just don't quite have the
circulation you used to have.
No, yeah. Especially my right hand. When I sliced putting that steel roof on, I was up hunting last weekend. Cold and wet, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's probably what leads to this conversation. But years ago, I started that woodshed, that lean-to thing that I'm now expanding. And I didn't.
You've been doing that for a year, too, though. So, yeah, it's all years.
Right? Well, when you work by yourself.
I understand.
And it's kind of how it goes. Those logs are heavy.
Yeah.
But I learned that when you do metal roofing, Conrad, that you want to wear leather gloves.
Oh. Sure. Absolutely.
Ouch. And
I had a piece of steel sliding off the roof, and I thought it'd be good to catch it instead of dent it. And it pinned my hand right up against the tree, and it right in between my pointer and my thumb, it sliced right in there deep.
Yeah.
Right into the nerves. And so my trigger hand is frozen. Even in the summer, it's cold.
Yeah.
Wow.
Figure that one out.
Yeah.
But we did, Paul and I went up to Whipple, and we sat around and tried to stay dry a lot of the time. And of
course, in a tent or a camper?
Tent. When it's windy and rainy, the deer are hunkered down.
Sure.
So, I mean, we found something to do anyway. We built a lean-to. It was kind of a cob job of some old tarps. And we built a fire and stayed dry, and it was nice.
But, so you were in the lean-to?
Under a lean-to, with
a fire going.
My whole life right now is lean-tos.
That sounds like me maybe trying to use my pellet smoker in my garage. Similar, right? Build a fire under a roof and then see what happens.
Yeah. Right? Well, the good news is it, you know, it was nice and high, so it kept the rain off us, and we didn't get smoky.
Good, good.
Yeah. The next week when I go up, I'm going to bring a good tarp up, and I'm going to make a really nice weather break.
Because
it's breaking the weather to the north.
Okay.
And that's just a great place to break it.
Sure.
You know,
you predominate.
Coming off that lake, it's cold.
Yeah.
And we do like sitting outside and having a fire, but you don't have to be freezing on the backside.
So when's the next trip up there?
Next weekend.
Next weekend.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. So you didn't get any deer this first round, but
dude, they were just hunkered down.
Yeah.
I finally saw some the last day. It got nice, and I had 10 does blow by me. I think the guy next door took a shot.
Yeah.
And I heard this rumbling, sounded like buffaloes coming, and they were just hauling. You know what?
Right. Yep.
But that was exciting because you can only sit there so long and not see deer and say, gee, I'm hunting.
Right.
No, I'm daydreaming. I'm just wondering how I'm going to finish all those logs.
Keep your strap on tight in case you kind of nod off. But if it's cold, you don't just generally do that.
Well, and that's a good blind to have a strap on because that one's 22 feet in the air.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
But the view is spectacular.
Oh, sure.
Spectacular, right? I moved my camera into a much better spot. You know, it's got the cell phone hookup on it. So I was placing it before where I thought I had a signal, and I found some better spots in the center of the lot that had a signal, and now I'm where I want to be. So the first thing I got the next day was a picture of a doe looking at that camera, just her nose right up against it.
Yeah.
It was kind of cute.
Yeah, must be she could smell you.
Yeah, must be. But later on in the show, we're going to talk about some things for the fall, and one of the things I found was the fall sangria.
Really?
And I guess we could cover that right now. My daughters love sangria, and they've kind of gotten me to like it.
I don't mind it if it's not too sweet.
Yeah.
If it's sweet, I'm not a big fan. But
well, what I've found is there are hardly sangrias anymore. They've got so many concoctions they put in them, and this is probably a typical example, but it's got a couple pomegranates, which I love pomegranate juice, but you got to use the whole pomegranate. Of course, some sugar, a pear, an apple, and 750 milliliters of red wine.
That'd be a bottle.
Like Pinot Noir.
Yep.
And then some triple sec, and then whatever liquor you have extra that you want to get rid of. I know I have a bottle of this green vodka, Conrad, in the basement bar. My neighbor gave it to me. It's got to be 30 years old.
Is it apple or?
No, it's just lime. But it's, you know, food coloring green.
Right.
We used to have a name for that back in college. We called it a trash can.
It's exactly what I'm going to. Yeah. So this is a trash can sangria. Okay, use your leftovers.
Right, yeah. Well, I suppose that, you know, you drink a couple of it, you kind of numb up your taste
you
buds,
care.
And then you don't care.
Dude, I'm telling you, we make them all sorts of different ways, and you've been to plenty of our gatherings.
Yeah.
And there just doesn't seem to be any left when we're done, so
we've
raised a group of lushes.
Yeah.
Is what's happened.
One other thing with the fall. Been doing a lot of barbecues recently. I've had four or five in the last couple weeks. Got a big one on Thursday this coming week. The West Michigan Home Builders Association is having a clay shoot.
Sure.
So there'll be a couple hundred
of
them.
You go to the Sportsman's Club?
Yeah, in Caledonia, yep.
Oh, okay.
And we're a couple hundred of them there. And
That's a big one.
Yeah. And what we're going to do for the first time is bring them a caramel apple cobbler. And this is something that my wife is making. I'm not really a baker. I don't do real good with baking, but we perfected it and given it to the last two or three barbecues.
She's perfected it.
Yes.
Okay. He says we.
I can carry it without dumping it.
I get pulled into the we a bunch with him too.
Yeah. So she's perfected it, and it's really super good. And the again, I'd like to tell you the recipe, but I don't have anything to do with it. She makes it every time, but man, does she have this thing perfected, and it's. You know, we take.
You're gonna bring some ice cream or whipped cream or something.
Whipped cream will be with it, but the Gala apples is that what she prefers for the flavor. But they're a little bit tart.
You have to.
And but then she makes a caramel out of butter and
brown sugar.
Oh man,
gotta be good.
And laces it with that, and then
I'm starting to want some.
Puts the dough on top, and then you know you bake it for 45 minutes.
Conrad,
and
you got
like,
a gun? You can't we hook up with some shotguns and run out there and snag some of that?
I just
cobbler?
Don't know if I do these barbecues on the side, and my wife is going to make dessert for one. 100?
200.
200.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
She's a giving person.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, she's got it perfected. So, and in a pan of it feeds about 25. So you've got eight pans of it that she's going to make.
Yeah, that's okay. You have one of those peelers?
Yeah.
Got to have it.
Right, yeah, yeah. And those things work amazing. And
of course, now what we have the other one that's a star. It's a circle with all the little slices, and you just push it down over the apple.
Yeah, right.
I prefer that.
Do you?
Because I like to keep the skin on an apple.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of which, a couple days ago, I went up to an orchard, and I should have brought you some. I took off in a
Well, there's no love. I get it.
But I picked, like, six of those big grain bags. I stopped at the granary and picked the big bags. Six bags of those, and I mean, it only took me an hour.
Yeah.
There were so many apples left.
That you went right out in the orchard and picked them off the tree.
Yeah,
all right, good for you.
Yeah, because this guy he couldn't pick anymore. He's full again, like
I
last year.
Yep, I remember that.
And I just went and just killed it.
Yeah. So you store those? How do you store them?
In my garage.
Okay, all winter.
And then when they
you
start,
you don't worry about their freezing.
No, my garage doesn't freeze.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. It's heated. Yep.
So I keep them over in the third bay by the mule. And it's colder over there.
Yeah.
There's the,
right.
Just the way it is.
It's a little bit further away from the wood furnace.
Yeah. It's a gas furnace. But anyway, I love picking it. It's just wonderful. My sister-in-law joined me, and she's just a hoot. It's right next to her house, and we got to visit with her horses. And
did you give them an apple?
Lots of them.
The horses?
Yeah.
They're liking you now.
The funny thing is there's one really cool tree in the midst of those that they didn't pick, and it was like a crisp honey.
All right, coming up next, do you pickle? Bob does. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. My grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs.
When we're welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob's back in the house. He had a little hunting trip last weekend, but he's back. So, good to have you in the chair there, Bob.
Thanks, buddy.
Been talking a little bit about a lot of things, but what about pickling? I had my first experience with it a week and a half ago.
Oh, really?
I had not pickled anything ever in my life.
You've been in a pickle many times.
And
I've been with you.
But I didn't, yeah. Yeah, Big Brown slides off a road every now and then, and then you got a pickle. But anyway.
What'd you pickle?
Red onions. I made a jar of pickled red onions because I was going to a barbecue where someone had asked for them, and I told them.
Don't you
the
love
menu.
Those?
Yeah, and it was super simple.
Oh yeah,
and actually
that's like a countertop.
Actually,
pickle.
I got the recipe. I got all the ingredients. I got ready to do it, and my buddy Stan was gonna come over and help me because he's done it a bunch of times, and damned if he didn't bring 2 quarts of pickled onions with him that he'd done the night before. Right, so I used his, but since then I've made more because we went.
Well, that's
through
a good idea because it takes about 3 days to get them really nice.
Yeah, yep. It says
it says a day, but after 3 days they're perfect.
Yep.
After 6-7 days they're done.
Yeah.
You don't even want them anymore.
And that's what he said. And they went so quick that I haven't experienced that part yet. But I've got another batch for a barbecue today.
So that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And
basic premises still apply.
Right.
Vinegar, sugar, salt, water.
Right, yep.
And then whatever aromatics or spices
you want.
Yeah,
put a little garlic
in
it, a little bit, not much.
Uh-huh.
And it was minced garlic, so it would, soak into the liquid. But the other thing is that Stan's tip was to put hot water in the jar.
Oh, yeah.
And to get the onions to soften up a little bit and then dump it off and put your
I just put hot brine in. I use hot water for my brine and pour that on top.
Yep.
And then let it sit on the counter till it cools, throw it in the fridge for a day or two, and they're done.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I did some jalapenos like that last year. Did you have any of those?
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh, they were better than the ones that I can.
Yeah.
There was something about it, and I kept the recipe. I kept my notes, but I still have a bunch left over from last year, but it's a good countertop. I call that countertop canning.
Yeah.
It's a good countertop method for pickling something. And jalapenos, if you pressurize them and can them fully, you change them a bit, and you're forcing more of the vinegar into them or whatever. But this way, they were crispy.
Right, yeah,
and they
that
were
was
kind of sweet. You picked up a little of the sweet,
yep.
And that's what I really liked from it.
Yeah, me too. And it was like you said, it was kind of fun. I can see myself doing it over and over. He had a tool for the onions that I don't have, but I'm going to have one soon, and that's one of those mandolins that that you slice the onion. Yeah, everybody's lost a fingertip or a thumb, which is why I don't have one I've seen people do this. I'm like, I don't need that. I can use a knife, but. You can't get them so thin with a knife like you can with that mandolin.
No, and the mandolin's really nice because for an onion in particular, it does a great job because it's got that half-rounded area.
Right. And then his tip was go across the onion so you're going with the circles don't go 90 degrees to the circles because then you get little bits. But
yeah.
you go with the onion,
right,
and you get long strings.
You go top to bottom.
Right. Yep. Yep. You still got to knock the top off and take the skin off.
Yes.
But you go top to bottom rather than cut it in half.
Look
going
at this,
sideways.
Conrad. We've got candy apple desserts, and now we've got
caramel apple cobbler, baby.
Caramel apple
Get
cobbler,
it straight,
and
man.
And then
the canning guys,
and then the canning. It's everything C's. What's next?
Right.
Don't go there. Don't even do it.
So we're gonna. I don't know.
So anyway,
sounds great.
My mother
really
used
good.
To pickle beets.
Oh. Yeah,
I loved hers.
Can you make a beet good?
Oh, they're heavenly. And then I've done cucumbers for years. That same countertop method I'm talking about. Right. You can do with fresh cubes.
Now, do you do just spears like, or slices?
Yes.
Both, huh? Okay.
So remember that Tony that was on the show that gave us that sun pickle recipe that's on our website?
Yeah, right.
Okay, if you can get, and you can buy those small pickles at the fruit market or at the, your, you know, giant stores. They call them salad cukes.
Yeah.
You could still make bottles of those sun pickles and put them, you know, out on your deck during the day to let the sun hit them. But they're fantastic, and that's an easy. That's what I'd call like a countertop.
So tell me how to make those. I mean, if you can remember.
Yeah, you put your and I did spears to a bunch of them.
Okay,
and just because I like spears with a sandwich, I don't know.
Right,
but you basically make up your brine, and it's the same thing. It's water, sugar, salt. This calls for pickling spice.
Okay.
And garlic.
You can buy that in a little packet or a jar.
That's how you
right?
get it from McCormick's.
Right. Yep.
The people that give us all the good spices.
Right.
Yep. And you literally put the pickles in there. You pour this brine on top. You set a nice thick slice of rye bread on top, and you cover it with foil. Don't ask me what the rye does. It's could be totally a hoax, but that's what I do.
Yeah.
And it's usually
and it stays in there and it dissolves?
It dissolves, yep.
Yeah.
So those are fantastic. Now, I put green beans in this year.
Okay.
That was really nice. And you can pickle green beans. They're actually really good. That sun pickle recipe would be great for that.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to do it just on your countertop, you could still put the rye bread on top. You wouldn't have to go outside. So in the colder weather, you could still do that pickle recipe because it's the sun, I don't know what the sun's doing. It's obviously got a bit of an effect, but you have to leave it out 3 days. Well, you could put it on your southern exposure walkout slider if you got one.
Right. So you just brought a thought to mind. Last weekend when you were up hunting, I went and did the Shartucky class reunion.
Yes.
Not bow camp because it's what it is. But what made me think of it
is... He's finally admitted it.
I brought some rye bread down there, and we made
spinach
Reuben,
dip?
Reuben sandwiches with brisket and the red onions on it. And a piece of Swiss
instead
cheese. Instead of sauerkraut. It was good.
Mm.
It was really
good. Oh, he's
good.
A red onion freak. Now,
well,
look at this guy.
That's what I did. I took a quart of them down there.
Kapusta, man. You know, sauerkraut. I'm more
I did miss the Pulaski days last weekend because I was down there messing
but
around.
Now, but now, I'm almost where, because kapusta isn't really sauerkraut. It's sauerkraut with all sorts of other things, right?
No, it's cooked a little differently.
Yeah, and it's got sugar in it.
It's got sugar.
It's got bacon.
And you can get it with more like little chunks of kielbasa in it. And that's really really
uh-huh.
good. But usually it's just the sauerkraut, and then Laura Schaponik cooks it the way it should in those giant pans.
It's that Polish catering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Polish girl catering. Right.
How can you not love that?
Well. I loved that when I bought it at Sobeys for the longest time, and then I went back to some regular sauerkraut, and it's like, you know, I really still like regular sauerkraut better. Because I'm doing them on hot dogs or brats, and there's just something about that bite that, it's the pickled effect, right?
No.
Now, with sauerkraut, you don't even use vinegar in it. It just ferments.
Right. Well, that's kimchi, right?
Well.
I mean,
it's American kimchi.
Yeah, right.
Or German.
Yeah.
So some people do eggs. I'll tell you something I'm now fond of is pickled herring.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I grew up on that. My dad was a big fan of that,
and mine was too. And that's why I thought it was gross.
Wynn Schuler's back in the day.
I thought it was gross.
Up, yeah,
he was my dad's teacher.
No kidding.
Wynn was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's why
you use
he likes
the vinegar based or the cream based
vinegar.
Vinegar. I prefer the cream myself.
I think.
Yeah.
I do.
I think. I think that'd be a good thing to do with trout. It would get rid of the trout flavor.
Yeah, the fishy flavor.
Yeah.
So anyway.
There you go.
Well, we've pickled that subject to death, but coming up next, how are we going to store this stuff? You're listening to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them The Grilling Guys sent you.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Glad you're here. Hope you've got some fun things planned. I know that I do. I'm just going to hang out outside and clean up the leaves that are just starting to fall. We haven't got any color yet.
You had a big birthday this week.
I did.
The big 6-0.
Yeah. Yep.
Welcome to the club.
Right. Yeah. Well, thanks. It's a new decade for Job. You know, there's a colonoscopy in my future. There's all this stuff. So.
At least.
Yeah. Right.
But, just had mine.
Right. Yep.
Hey, let me tell you that. You know, that's a great public service announcement.
Right.
Because we lost a dear friend to colon cancer.
Right.
Our board of. Yep. Directors Robbie Russell died of colon cancer.
Right.
Because he didn't get that dreaded test.
Right.
And it got him. And it's what killed my father.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things you just have to do. I mean, if you're smart, not that Rob wasn't smart, I shouldn't say it that way, but, you know, take care of yourself, right?
Yep.
And it's not pleasant, but you'll live through it. You're sleeping when it happens.
Give you one warning. If the doctor comes into the room with a GoPro on his head,
yeah,
don't let him do it.
Right, yeah. Or if he's a big-handed Dutch guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, with a big ring, you know, that's always.
It's just like homecoming.
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness. All right, we digress.
I know, man. We get sick.
So this time of year, we're coming to the end of it, but there was a huge amount of vegetables that you could have canned, harvested, kept. You said you just went and picked 4 or 5 bags of apples.
Yeah, so the big grain bags.
So what do you do with that stuff once you get it?
Because that's a great thought, and that's kind of what made me think of storage, because I'm trying to figure out ways to store those.
Yeah, and you don't have a lot of extra refrigerator room. You don't have a lot of extra freezer room, most people, you know. So
my third refrigerator is empty and unplugged out by the pool.
Okay.
I can't get at it because I got everything stowed away in front of it.
Yep.
And in the winter, the snow blows in and everything. You can't get in there anyway. So I have a third stall in the garage that's cool. I can store them there. I also have a shed, and I have the I was thinking of just hanging them from the rafters in the little barn.
The apples?
Yeah.
Are you worried about them freezing?
Well, at a certain point, yeah. But right now, no.
Well, yeah, correct. But
not
I mean, that January, February,
November,
stuff,
yeah.
Stuff that, and then that doesn't do them any good.
But right now is when you want to keep them the coolest because you're buying a month.
Right.
But the other thing is, we were just talking about canning.
Yeah.
Have you ever made applesauce?
No, I have not.
Oh,
I bought it.
Really
but
good.
I've never made it.
It's wonderful.
Mean, you know, it's always been just me and a wife. I don't, Lisa and I don't can things. It's just the two of us.
Well, Maureen makes applesauce all the time, and she'll make it fresh for the kids when they're over.
Yeah.
Because the grandkids love it when
it's
warm.
Yeah.
And she'll put a little whipped cream on it. Oh, that's a great dessert.
Yep. It's got sugar and cinnamon
in it.
Just
put some caramel on there.
And apple butter. My wife's been working on apple butter the last couple weeks.
Really?
So,
really?
Yeah. Cooking it down, putting it into one of those slow cookers and just cooking it all day.
And has it turned out?
Turned out amazing. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So what'd you eat your apple butter on?
Well, you put it on, you know, anything.
Toast.
You can put it on ice cream, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's great on toast.
Sure.
You've never had it?
You know, I have.
I have trouble eating pork without applesauce on it.
Really?
Sorry,
I
grew up with it all the time.
I've heard of
time.
People doing that. I've never really tried it.
Flavor.
I bet apple butter would be good on the pork.
Oh, it is, yeah.
It's almost like barbecue sauce,
yeah.
just one step away.
Well, and your favorite barbecue sauce is?
It is apple.
There you go. Now I know what we can do with a bunch of those apples.
Well, there we go. Yeah, make me some sauce, Bob. I'll eat it.
We can finally start that little side business.
Right.
We were talking about.
The hustle.
The grilling guys.
We need another
apple
one.
Apple butter, yes.
This boy loves apple barbecue sauce.
I do. It's my favorite. No question.
So talking about storing vegetables for the fall, depending on what you grow.
Yeah.
Like in our old house where I grew up, we had something called the root cellar. And it was a room in the basement that did not have a cement floor.
Right.
And they used to do that back in the day, so you had a place to store vegetables. I have no idea why.
Yep. But I grew up in one, too. We were in a very old home that my mom and dad bought in the, I think, in the 40s after he got back from World War II. And there was a basement under one half, but the other half had what was like a crawl space. But it only had a dirt floor.
Michigan,
there was a brick
Michigan
wall.
Cellar, yeah.
Yeah, there was a brick wall, and you had like a little cubby hole that you had got in there. But once you were in there, you were under one side of the house. And it was maybe like 3 foot tall, so
right.
you couldn't walk in there, but you could crawl around on your hands and knees pretty
you
easy.
You as a kid could.
Yeah, right.
So hey, Randy, go get us a bag of potatoes.
But that was always full of canned stuff. And then I remember my mom used to make me go in and rotate it, bring the older stuff to the front and put the newer stuff in back.
Yep.
So that it was, you weren't, you know, losing.
Because they didn't have Sharpies back then.
Right, yeah. Well, she knew what was where, right? And she just wanted us to eat the stuff because as you go, you reached in, the stuff that was closest, you grabbed and ate. You didn't
So one
there.
Of the things I think you can do with these veggies right now is roast them and freeze them or freeze dry them. You and I both have, I've got a great big cryovac.
Mm-hmm.
You can do some nice big bags of stuff. Problem again, freezer's full.
Right.
So the next best thing is canning or dehydrating.
Right. I'm not a big dehydrator.
I'm not either.
I don't like the texture when it's done. I mean, you can rehydrate them when you use them, some things, but I just think it changes the whole texture.
McDonald's does that with their onions.
Oh, really?
They send them in dehydrated and they add water to them.
Oh, great.
That's why they're so pukey.
Yeah. That's why I've always gone to McDonald's and ordered no onions, please. Right.
So then roasting and canning is what you're going to do.
Right.
So roast your tomatoes, roast your whatever you've got.
And that could be in the smoker if you wanted to, I guess.
That's best too.
Yeah, what I would caution everybody on that is don't use a lot of smoke because
charcoal.
When you roast it and then you either can it or you vac seal it like we do. It really concentrates that smoke flavor.
I'll tell you what, though.
It can get overwhelming.
This last batch of salsa I did you have any of that?
Yeah, we did. Yep, you gave me a quart of it. It was good.
That smoke was perfect.
Right.
And I didn't use wood. I just used a good lump charcoal.
Right.
Royal Oak.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Royal Oak makes a good lump charcoal.
They do. And for those of you that don't use lump charcoal, why do we use it? One, it's hotter. And two, it generates a lot less ash. Everything in the...
But you left out the most important thing is there's no additives.
Right. Yeah. It's
because
a natural product.
Briquettes, they use borax in the molds when they make briquettes.
Yep.
And you can smell that the minute you... If you get used to using lump and you walk up to a briquette fire, it'll just slap you.
Right.
For the longest time, you know, when I first got into this 20 years ago or whatever, I was trained and whatever, and I thought it was kind of propaganda to sell our brand. No, it's true.
Right.
Lump charcoal smokes. Even a bad lump charcoal is better than briquettes.
Yeah, and you go to some of the big distributors and buy their lump charcoal in a bag and put it in your smoker. You're going to find five or six rocks.
Well,
I'm not lying.
Always.
Rocks
always,
in the bottom of your smoker when it's done.
Especially the
it's
stuff
like,
from
what?
South America and Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
Central America.
By America.
It's a different wood.
Right.
and it leaves a white film inside your smoker.
Right.
So I don't know what that is, but I don't want it on my food.
Yeah, and if it's on your smoker, it's on your food.
And I don't want that borax on my food either.
Right.
It's just like we had this conversation last night. I had some buddies over, and they were talking about, gee, you know, why don't you ask that guy for some of those apple trees that he's getting rid of? You don't want apple trees out of an orchard. They've been sprayed with chemicals for 30 years. I think they keep them about 20. That's 20 years worth of pesticides.
Right.
You don't want it.
Right. And, you know, there's with the tornadoes that came through the last month or so, there is tons of wood down everywhere.
Oh, there's
and,
so much.
There's so much. Grab some hickory, grab a cherry, do something out of the woods, and it'll be wonderful for you.
I just found a giant tree back in my woods that's like, well, when did that break? I didn't see it.
Right.
Huge. One of my big ones.
Yeah.
And it's just halfway up, snap.
Right. Did it come down or is it hanging there?
It's hanging.
Oh, yeah. You mess with that.
No, I got a job. Can you come over next week?
No, I'm out. Anyway, we are. That whole wood thing makes me think. I was down at Shartucky, and they had a big. It came right through there. As a matter of fact, the guy where we stayed.
Oh, Tim's house, got hit.
Tim's house. He was blocked in 3 days, and there's a guy that's got three chainsaws and boys, but it was deep, and it just covered his driveway.
And there's something scary about power lines.
Well, that was it. They had to wait for him. But anyway, so coming up next, squash your onion. Maybe with a red bell or a mushroom or even a tomato. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys, and we appreciate you tuning in. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about all kinds of fall vegetables and what to do with them and how to take care of them so that you can have them throughout the winter and maybe into the spring.
We have some meat. We had the trout, pickled trout.
Yeah, a herring or whatever it is you like, yeah. But, and you know, you can – Chaz was here last week when you were up hunting, Bob, and he talked about canning venison.
Oh, yeah.
And he does that. Again, something I've never done, but he claims it makes it taste more like roast beef.
It's so good.
Than anything.
If you're afraid of venison and you want to store some meat, just have somebody who cans venison give you a can and try it.
Right.
Because anybody who cans venison typically knows what they're doing. You don't mess around with something like that too much. I mean, it's a science, and you have to be very precise for it, but... So
you put that in a jar, and then you put the jar in what's called a pressure cooker.
Yep.
Right? And the jar is full of a liquid, almost like a gravy.
Let me give you the Adeline version of
it.
Yeah. My mother did, and she didn't use a pressure cooker. I don't think they knew they had to do that back. Maybe she did. I don't know. But she had a pressure cooker. I don't remember that part of it. But I'm going to do some this year. Here's the beauty of canning venison. I think we're in for a whale of a winter.
Yeah.
I do. We've got acorns like I've never seen.
Oh, I know.
I thought last year was heavy, and we had a pretty cold winter. This year I've got wild cherries and acorns. It's like apocalyptic levels. It's just crazy. So if Mother Nature is trying to tell us something, we might be in for a really cold winter. And we've seen enough power disruptions and enough disruptions around the world that you just don't know what's going to... If you're a prepper, here's the ultimate prepper food. You don't have to spend $400 online with some guy trying to sell you a kit. Make your own. And so what my mother would do is she would cut it up Remember, they used to call them beef tips when you go to a restaurant, the fancy restaurants when you were a kid. They had the little square cubed pieces of steak or whatever it was. She would cut all of the meat up like that, and then she would saute it.
Okay.
And, I mean, batches and batches, because, you know, a whole deer is a lot. There's where your big cast iron's really nice.
Yep.
And some good garlic EVO from Old World Olive Company.
Mm-hmm.
And then season it. And then she would put all those cubes in a jar along with sliced onion and garlic. And then she would make up a giant vat of gravy. Now, you can actually buy the gravy mix, or you can use beef bouillon to make your gravy, whatever you want to do. But then you pour the jars up with that, and you leave it down
from
the top.
Leave a little headspace.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
You leave it down from the top so it doesn't boil over and ruin the seal.
Yep.
And then you put your lids on soft and you put them in the pressure cooker. You can actually use these little Instapots, and all these things are pressure cookers now.
Yeah.
But do your research. I'm not going to tell you how long you have to do it, because they recommend longer than what I ever remember anybody doing it. But you don't want salmonella as the long and the short of
right.
it. And if you're pre-sautéing it, you're already cooking it to a certain extent.
Right.
So you're going to get rid of a lot of those.
So this
bacteria.
Is a quart ball jar with the little tin lid on there and a cap, or do you cap them after you take them out of the?
No. You first of all, I think I'm going to do a bunch of them in the pint jars.
Okay.
Because it seems like when you open a quart of something, it ends up in the refrigerator.
Well,
there's
sure.
only two in our house.
Right.
Most of the time. And it'll take me a little longer, but then I've got a meal for two, and it's just perfect
right.
size. But you get your new lids. Don't reuse lids.
Right, because the seal doesn't
But the
hold.
Rings you can reuse forever,
right.
As long as they're not rusty. And then you put that on there kind of loosely. You don't put it on real tight. You screw it down so that it's firm but not tight. And then you put it in the pressure cooker for 3 to 7 hours, whatever they tell you. And you just do them in batches like that. And if you do your research on like an Instapot or something like that, they might even have canned meat recipes in their book, and they can tell you how long you need to do it.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, dude, when I met my wife, we were at Ferris.
Yeah, yep, I remember that.
I had a little mobile home on 3 acres I was so proud of. I bought a mobile home on land with an artesian well, and I was king of my castle. But guess what? I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And when I had to fill that propane tank, buddy, I didn't have money for groceries.
Right.
And my mom and dad were in Arizona, and they'd call home every Saturday. How you doing? What do you need? It's like, oh, do you have food? Finally, I couldn't lie to her. It's like, not much. And she's like, oh, my gosh, go out to the house, because it's only 5 miles from their place. I went out to her pantry in the basement, and there are racks of canned vegetables, and I found some venison. Now, here's one you'd like. She used to do half of it in barbecue sauce.
Oh,
she'd make her own sauce, and that was really good. You want to have a barbecue sandwich?
Yeah.
It's all done. You literally heat the thing up in a saucepan. Yep. And
ooh, sounds good.
Tear it a little bit, and you're, oh, fantastic. But in the gravy, my wife still doesn't really act like she likes venison, but I'll tell you what, in college, she loved it.
Hungry kids, man. Yeah.
We'd boil up noodles and just put that on the noodles, and it's an instant meal.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Cool.
So,
what about the softer vegetables? What do we do with those if we want to store those? I'm talking like squash and maybe bell peppers,
same,
mushrooms.
Same. Bell peppers,
tomatoes,
you're in trouble.
Those kind of things.
But that squash, red onion, red bells, mushrooms, tomato marinated, carrots, celery, asparagus, and spices. I marinated. I chopped all that stuff up a couple weeks ago when I picked my garden. And I chopped it all up.
It's almost like a salsa, but the squash is.
But they're in chunks. I did it in larger chunks, and I marinated it, and then I lightly sauteed it when I would eat it. Oh, my gosh, was it good. It was like a warm salad. Fantastic. Just, you know, some oil and vinegar and spices. And that medley is just beautiful. And usually, you know, like I grew a ton of cherry tomatoes this year. Those, we have more than we need.
Right.
So I end up with a bunch of them in the fridge. I just threw those in there, and those work great to top off soups or anything like that, because you add a little acid. And you put those in something you're sauteing like that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, dude, I'm getting really hungry just looking at this right now.
Open up a little bit. Yeah.
Cool. No, I didn't even do that.
Oh, really? You just put them in there?
Yeah.
Hold them.
They look better.
Let them break down a little
bit. They look better. Yeah. You're just sauteing it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not, you know, the mushrooms are gorgeous because they've been marinating for a day.
Yeah. What'd you marinate them in?
Just like I said, vinegar and oil and some spices.
Or a cheap Italian dressing?
You can.
Is okay?
It is. It really is. A zesty is always good.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I think anywhere around the world.
So it's Halloween season coming up in the next couple of weeks. There's pumpkins everywhere. You drive by the road, it's like, why did that farmer grow 6 million of those things? Because the first week in November, you're going to see half of them still in the field. But I think it's just because they're easy to grow.
They look good.
And they look
good.
It's
eye candy.
Yeah.
So here's a cool tip for you. People don't tend to buy many pumpkins. They buy one and carve it. Well, if you do buy one and carve it, take it out and feed it to your deer.
Oh, sure.
You know,
yep,
they'll love it. They'll love it.
Yep.
But here's the other thing. You can buy those medium-sized pumpkins. You can cut them into quarters or whatever sizes will fit on a baking pan. And you can, of course, gut them out. And I think you put a little oil on them even. But then roast them in your oven. And if you want to have a pumpkin pie that's actually a pumpkin pie, it'll blow your socks off. I mean, it's fantastic. It'll be the best pumpkin pie your wife ever made. And I know your wife likes to bake.
Right. And you can't convince me that a pumpkin pie is a good thing. It's just not on my radar.
I'm sorry. You're un-American.
You've seen that meme where the pumpkin's sitting on a little chair, and it looks like he's about ready to take a dump, and there's a pie underneath it. That's what I feel like a little.
I'm sorry that you're so un-American.
That's not un-American.
It is very un-American.
I don't like pumpkin pie, man. I'm not an orange vegetable guy. So squash, pumpkin, carrots, they're my favorite.
Oh, my gosh. He's a vegetable racist. It's all about the color.
I like the colors, but I don't like that color. So, anyway, whatever.
So roasting pumpkin's a good deal. Yeah, but if you don't like pumpkin pie, you're not going to do that. But for those normal people out there, roast a few pumpkins and make real pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Your guests will be blown away.
Yeah,
it's velvety.
They'll blow something.
Velvety.
Anyway. Well, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Glad Bob was back. It'd been a couple weeks, so we, thanks for listening to our banter. And we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. If you're up in a tree, Bob, be safe. Tie that harness in and get out
strap
there.
Strap in.
Right. Get out there and enjoy some of this beautiful fall weather in Michigan. And won't be too long where we are that the colors will be peaky.
So. Yeah. And get your canning spices and jars now.
All right.
See ya.
We'll talk with you next week.